Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas. So today I was joined by Jane to do a review of the performance against Melbourne over the weekend. A positive step, one step forward, I felt like the game was. The 47-point loss to Melbourne, our best loss as far as margins goes in the last 6 or 7 weeks. So it's been a long time since it's been under 50 points. Just got there, probably a couple more minutes to go in the game and it would have gone over 50. But yeah, a step forward, I felt. Plenty of positives to discuss with Jane. So I won't hold you up. I'll bring on Jane right now.
All right, so I'm once again joined by Jane. So, Jane, before we get into the game last Saturday afternoon, I wanted to talk to you about the crowd figure. It was 13,144. Majority were Melbourne supporters, I found, when I was at the ground anyway. Is that a bit of a concern? Have supporters just sort of half given up that they see us losing by 50-plus points every week and it's just like, oh, what's the point? We're playing the reigning premiers who have won, 16 in a row. Is it a bit of concern to you that it's trending that way or do you think there's other external factors to it?
I think that certainly there's been a lot said about the game in terms of the officiating and that's impacting people and that there are some who reckon that they won't go to another game virtually ever again and certainly won't watch it on the TV, which is a real concern. But I found that from my perspective, I watched the game on the TV and yes, whilst it was noticeably a small crowd, I must say it was small but mighty in terms of the noise that I could hear watching it on the TV and to the extent that the commentators even said something about it. Our guys, that they were small in number, but they fired up in their support. I think maybe that, especially sort of after our effort over the weekend, I think we might sort of see, the crowd sort of coming back again. And certainly in terms of our membership numbers, they are extraordinary, really, given our circumstances. So I think that, I think we'll still have a sufficient number of members who, stick fat. So I don't think there's too much cause for concern because we've got a much better glimpse of where I think Noble's trying to take the team and the club, for that matter, on the weekend. So, I mean, I was very – I felt quite good, given that we'd lost by 47 points. So, about most people. But I think everyone was – felt sort of quite – sort of good, actually, because I think we played very well in, a number of patches throughout the game. So, was great to see.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get to that pretty soon. The game. You talked about the umpiring. I don't usually whinge or complain about umpiring, but when you're playing against the reigning premiers, I'm pretty sure they don't need any help. And that first quarter, in particular, getting a few gimmies. They didn't take the chances. Thank God, Melbourne. I think Petrarca kicked one out of the full from about 30 out. Got given one, and a couple others. LDU got given a 50-meter penalty.
I couldn't believe that for that basketball throw.
That's happened, right? Players do that, and because he didn't give it to him in quickly enough, I got given a 50-meter penalty, which cost a goal. And that, and I suppose the one that took the cake was the first goal of the game, Taron Thomas, at spear tackle on Ed Langdon, which is within the rules, got given a free kick.
Absolutely. And apparently, I believe that in the first half, that Melbourne had 8 shots at goal from umpiring decisions. And yes, maybe some of them were, Tiggy Touchwood, whatever, or there. But certainly there was a lot that were extremely dodgy. And as you say, a lot of people don't say much about the umpiring. You just kind of cop it, I suppose. But it's got to the point now where And even Noble said that he was going to be making a phone call and having a chat, and he was very diplomatic about it, but there were some absolute shockers. And Gary Lyons come out and said that the umpiring was terrible. So that says something. When a Melbourne great says that about the opposite, you know, that North were just pretty much cruel as far as the umpiring was concerned.
Yeah, he pretty much even said that Melbourne got a pretty good ride over the weekend. And, I think, they even missed a free kick. They were given all these free kicks, and then you see Jason North-Francis get clotheslined through a WWE move, and, didn't even get given one. And I think they just, a minute later, I think Zerha got the free kick anyway. But only because, he probably missed the previous one because it wasn't really a free kick to Zerha in the end. So, it was bad all round, like the whole round. The umpiring is just, it's probably been banned for a number of weeks. It started with the Sydney game where a player got given a 50-metre penalty for dissent, which there was no dissent. And then Lachie Neale in a tight contest got given a free kick against him for a little push. It is getting quite frustrating for the fans, and they've got to fix this sooner rather than later.
Because they're featuring too much. I mean, I think umpires should be seen and not heard. I don't think we should even know about them. You know what I mean? If they're doing their job properly, we wouldn't even take any notice. And because it's about the game. We go there to watch the players and watch great football, not to see this over officiating. And in terms of the number of free kicks that have been awarded, apparently it's just like off the scale. It's so high. It's like, they're just whistle happy. So
a lot of tiki touch ones too, and they're missing the obvious ones, which is probably even more frustrating. So go on.
No, I was just going to say that's what's so sort of bizarre as well, that it's the hell. It's like the really, really is as obvious as the nose on your face. They're missing those. I don't understand. I really don't. I know the game is faster than it's ever been, but they've got so many out there on the ground, watching the action. I can't see how they can't pick it up. And if they can't, they need to be trained better. So.
Yeah, 100%. I don't know how that well, we got that number 26 umpire. I don't know his name. 2 weeks in a row, he's pretty much screwed us both weeks against Port Adelaide. Last week, where he missed the Nick Larkey mark and a holding ball decision against.
That was
A
really bad one too. Yeah.
So
that's the thing you're even talking about. That you're even sort of talking about. Like we've got number whatever umpire this week. Oh no. We never used to do that. We never used to really be that fast, were we?
No, 100%. It's probably only I've just noticed him in the last couple of weeks because of how bad he's been, and he's clearly got a vendetta against North Melbourne. Whether I don't know if David Noble's slept with his sister or wife or something like that, but I've got compromising pictures or something. I don't know, but I'm convinced he's an Essendon supporter because he doesn't like us. So
probably
we'll probably get him again this week. Knowing our luck,
no doubt that'd be just our luck. Yeah.
We'll go to the game anyway. We'll get on to the contest. How did you see the game?
Well, I thought we were very competitive for such a long period, and also we got sort of challenged by Melbourne at one point and sort of came back. You know what I mean? Like they got quite a lead at one stage, but we didn't sort of capitulate, which I thought was really great. And I really liked the way that we played, and I was quite impressed actually with some of Jason Dunstall's commentary on the game, because I think he can sort of see what Noble's trying to do, and he was sort of having a bit of an argument about do you play conservative football or do you play attacking and sort of, at the risk of, there being turnovers and, coming back the other way. Yeah. And he described it quite well because he felt that the attacking way is the better way, the better approach, because it tests the players as to whether they can adapt to it. Mm. And if they can't, you get players that can.
Yeah,
to be sort of brutal. if they can't handle, if they can't sort of maintain a reasonable level of skill under those sort of circumstances, well, you do sort of really have to consider whether they're the ones that should be there for the long term, and whether that's going to sort of get us where we want to go. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on Noble's approach, I suppose? Because I think, certainly there seemed a very good vibe amongst the players, it doesn't look in any way like they're not on board. So, I personally sort of like his approach, and I can see where he is trying to go. So, but there's others that don't agree, and that's fair enough. So,
yeah. Well, it's completely different. We won the uncontested possession count by 43. We've been losing it by close to 100 pretty much every week. Mm. So it was completely different in that regard. We try to possess the ball, try to chip around, not so much go too much down the corridor. There were times we still try to go down the corridor, but we try to go along the boundary line. And, yeah, if the ball, at worst case scenario, would go long to Todd Goldstein, he'd just thump it out for another stoppage. I think it's more sustainable that you can play four quarters this way rather than actually trying to run too hard. I think, halfway through the third quarter, we were a goal down. And we kicked a really good goal in that time. I think it was Tristan Sherry. It was our last goal of the game, actually.
Yes, that's right.
It was just a good patient build-up because Melbourne, their defence pretty much tried to zone off as much as they can. And a lot of their midfielders are trying to zone off, and they're getting frustrated. Because we're just hitting up targets and then we'll get to round 60 out and just go along to the top of the square to keep it simple. And, I actually think this is more sustainable. You can because usually our pressure rating drops off pretty quickly in the last quarter, especially the last few weeks, whereas this week, even though we got out run a bit in the last quarter, I thought it was more their class came through. Our pressure rating throughout the game was more consistent. So... Yes. Yeah, I think this is more sustainable, whether he keeps going on with that or whether it was just a one-week thing against Melbourne, probably trying to conserve a bit. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, true. I mean, good point because, you do have to sort of make allowances, don't you, for your opponent and where their strengths are and how you sort of contend with them. So, I guess, it may well not be sort of exactly the same next week against St Kilda because it's – they play differently. They play a different brand and whatever. So, it'll be interesting to see what he does. But you could sort of see that they are starting to gel. And it was really pleasing, I thought. And there were some silly mistakes, silly turnovers, whatever. But, not surprising. And you're not going to go from 1 week of getting, like, flogged, basically, you're not going to turn around and win four quarters or something. I mean, that's just
that's right.
Ridiculous to expect that. But I think it was as good as an improvement as it could possibly have been. Really, I think. I think we should be quite sort of pleased. But we need more of it. That's all, and sustainable.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I mean, even Aiden Corr had an interview after the game and he pretty much said, look, even when we did turn it over, we'll set up behind the play a bit better rather than actually, there were still opportunities for us to defend because we'd turn it all over along the boundary wing or something like that. I mean, there was a couple of bad ones. Corr and Aiden kicked one straight to Bailey Fritch.
That was awful.
Yeah, that was.
I felt sorry for him too, because I thought, I thought he was doing it, a reasonable job. And again, he's just come back in, hasn't he, really? So, hasn't sort of had an opportunity to really kind of cement his position, whatever that is. and then for that to happen, that's the thing. That's the difference between a team like ours and where Melbourne's at. They're sort of at another level and understandably so, but that's somewhere where we need to aspire to be. So
100%. I mean, he's pretty much taken Aiden Bonner's spot in the fact that he's playing in matchups that don't suit him. He had to play as a third tall effectively on the weekend, so you'd see him often on Tom McDonald, and he's quite good one-on-one or a Bailey Fritch or something like that. So he was admirable. I mean, he's gonna turn it over. And yeah, you know, he's yeah. There's obvious question marks. There'll never be a question mark on his on his courage or how hard he works. It's more just his skill that lets him down sometimes. But yeah, that's the way it goes. What are some of the positives then? I mean, we've talked a couple. Many more positives. Any individual players that you really liked?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
may I have put up the top of the list number 9? I thought it was a terrific game from LDU, and well, as we discussed previously, I think that 50 metres was just ridiculous. But just in terms of his even his tackle work, just his ability to move through traffic so seamlessly. And I noticed that I think he only got pinged for holding the ball. I think it was once.
That was something
he did need to work on. You know, he sort of would try and take it on and he'd get caught. And I think it was only one occasion, if I'm not mistaken, where that happened over that game. But he sort of showed that he's really developed his tank.
Because
in terms of sort of like covering the ground, I think he was the highest. I looked up the sort of, you know, like the player tracking on the...
The kilometres. Yeah, he got the most.
He covered 15.3,
So
that was more than anyone, and I was pretty impressed about that because I thought, and he seemed to sort of like play, like didn't seem overly fatigued in the last, maybe sort of a little bit, but
yeah.
Given that, I thought he did a really good job, and he's just sort of showing, you know, like he can get even better. So, but I think he's going to be a very important part of our midfield.
Yeah.
For the duration, really. So yeah, I was really happy for him because I think he really does work hard, and it's good to sort of see the him sort of, you know, rewarded for his efforts.
I think
he understands what he needs to do now too.
Yeah, 100%. There's been a lot of pressure on him too, with players missing, that he's had to, you know, probably really, really step up. He probably hasn't stepped up as much as we would have liked, but he's only 21, 22 years old still. And he went head-to-head against Christian Petrarca as well.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a great matchup. Like, he more than held his own. And he talked about his tank. It's definitely improved. Like, you know, there was only about 5 or 6 weeks ago where he'd play one quarter and the other 3 quarters he'd go missing. Whereas this week he had 7, 8, 6, and 6, 27 touches all up over the span of 4 quarters. So he's more consistent. And like you said, he was able to run out the game a lot better. How do you see, like, I thought the back line was absolutely brilliant in saying that as well. I thought Josh Walker keeping Ben Brown to no goals, you know, very good one-on-one. Aiden Corr, after a slow, after probably just another first quarter that I thought, oh, no, not again. Probably started pretty poorly. He was fantastic as well. Even David Noble said it was his best game for the club.
I heard that.
Yeah,
and Bailey Scott. I think he got the coach's award too. Like, I think him and LDU got some, what would you call it? Got some points or whatever you call it.
Coach's awards or whatever it is. I did see that.
That'll be good for Corr's self-confidence. Because I think he was a little bit stiff with a couple of the calls made against him, but yeah.
Oh, 100%.
There was also, you know, like a bit of a sort of a brain snap, but generally, I thought he worked really hard.
I thought, Baylor Scott had another really good game, 27 touches and played on majority of it on Kozea Pickett. Only kicked 2 goals. I mean, kicked 2 goals and kept him to 7 touches. I thought he negated his influence as best as he could.
Absolutely. And he's just sort of, I don't know, I think he's another one of those ones that's sort of got good football smarts because, he just sort of, you know, like his disposals were really good. And, you don't get sort of, like, he's quite sort of like, it's almost like a calming influence that he has. Because you're not sort of nervous when he's got the ball, you know what I mean? You sort of think, you know, yeah, he's going to make a good decision, and that's, you know, that's great. And he's just improved out of sight, I reckon. He's having a really good year.
So yeah, no,
that's great. He's one of those ones that sort of flies under the radar a little bit, I think.
I didn't realise he had 27 touches. I was at the game. Like, I knew he got a fair bit of the ball, but he sort of, I was a bit surprised he got that many. You sort of said, you're not nervous when he's got the ball. I'm usually nervous whenever one of our players has got the ball, usually. Because I kind of expect the turnover. So
yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, no. But
it's not really that many that unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. But no, he's definitely improved.
And yeah, I think Perez is quite good in that regard too. Like he's quite sort of calm and calculated, and he's another one that's just sort of quietly, I guess, cementing his role, you know. Which again is really great to see. So you know, some of these younger fellas are starting to build, and I thought Pell, as much as he sort of played of the game, looked good too. And I think he'll sort of, you know, get better and better as well. So, but I reckon Cam Zerha's getting his swagger back, which is so good to see. He played well, and like that goal that he kicked was just ridiculous.
Well, he played up Brokaw and then just snapped over.
Brilliant. More of that, please. So if he can sort of get his, you know, his full mojo back. That could be quite scary for opposition teams, which is great.
But
I feel sorry for Suva, because I just reckon that he can't buy a free. He got absolutely mauled and just no reward whatsoever. And, you know, I don't know how he just puts up with it. Like, that's I think, why he gets frustrated at times, because he just... They should be looking after the full forwards, the sharpshooters, really. Yeah. They're not. That it's anything but, and it's just. I think it's just terrible. And I mean, don't they want higher scores?
Well, you think so?
How about paying some frees to the forward line players? That'd be good.
Yeah, I think he wears a blue and white jumper, so that probably goes against him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not to make it a winch fest or anything like that.
But I think that's a fair call, given especially what happened over the weekend. So.
Yeah. I'll just start with Zerha. I've just recently read through John Ralph that he's saying that he's put contract talks on hold. He's obviously out of contract at the end of the year. Are you a bit concerned that he's put contract talks on hold at the moment?
Probably not, in a way, because I'd be tipping that it would be his manager that's got in his ear and said that, you know, like, he's, as I say, it looks like his mojo's returning, but it's not quite there yet. So, you know, why wouldn't you, if it looks like you're just going to improve, why wouldn't you hold off contract talks and, you know, play some ripper games for the rest of the year? And that's going to put your value up, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
The canny move to do, and I think that's what these kind of, you know, these managers get paid for. That's what they suggest to their clients, I'm sure. So I don't think it's overly concerning from the perspective of him leaving. And especially if we're starting a sort of a bit of an upward trend, how we play. And he's good mates with Suva and everything. It's sort of like, you know, where would he go? I mean, would he go, you're talking sort of maybe back to Western Australia or, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? So, I mean, it might be just a bit of a money play as well for the manager. Like, you know, he's obviously had a good 5 weeks. He's kicked a bit, the majority of their goals, probably half of their goals, really. So, yeah, there's probably a bit of that involved. And, I guess we'll see how we go with that. But, look, I'm not too concerned. I think it's probably... 80-90% chance that he does stay. So, possession is 9/10 of the law. So, I'm quietly confident that he will re-sign for. I think he'll sign for about three years, to be honest with you, maybe even four. And he'll probably get a bit of money too. So, and good on him.
Yeah, and we've got a bit of cash, so we can sort of, I think we can afford to. To pay our good players well and keep them. So,
definitely.
It's like Jason Horne Francis, really. I mean, you know, there's an outrage a lot of carry on about him putting off
contract talks.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, you hear that, I can't remember which player it was, but one of Essendon's new guys, but he's like, what is it, 18 months into his contract or something, and And he's only just re-signed, and it's kind of, well, this is his first year. So I think it needs to be a bit of sort of calm, really, about that. So
definitely.
I'm not worried about that, really. It's just, we'll just have to see how we go the rest of the year. And but, yeah, he just seems to be sort of so committed to the cause.
Yeah.
I just find it really strange if he just sort of walked out. But anyway.
Yeah, you never know, I suppose.
You don't. You really don't. Yeah. But yeah, you've just got to have faith and that, you know, that they can see where the club's trying to go and they're buying in. So that's all you can hope for, really.
Yeah, 100%. No, I couldn't agree more. We'll go to negatives. Any negatives for you in the game?
I thought that some of our sort of senior players sort of, again, were good, but I mean, I know that, for example, our captain just absolutely just throws everything in, you know, like he doesn't leave anything on the park, but I think he speaks so well to the media, for example, that's terrific, but just does sort of lack that bit of sort of polish. And I mean, I don't know. I just think you sort of need somebody who's going to lead from the front in terms of disposal efficiency and that sort of thing. I'm probably being a bit hard, but I mean, I think he won't be the captain when, you know, when we get to that point where we are sort of like absolutely sort of contending, or at least, you know, like playing like deep in the, well, you know, in the top four or something like that. I wouldn't have thought, but, and I know his heart and soul and everything, but yeah. And I saw a couple of silly mistakes or poor disposals from Luke McDonald too. And I was a bit disappointed. I just thought, seriously, like, especially, you know, coming out of defence, you've got to be a little bit cleaner than that and make better decisions. So, I'm being a hard marker, I know, but I think you have to be.
Yeah, you tend to be a bit harsher on the players you expect more from, like your senior players that have played 200-plus games, 150-plus games, and you think, God, fair enough, if you're a 10-game player, we kind of expected a little bit that they're going to make mistakes. But, I mean, when it's 200-game players that make the same mistakes week in, week out, it gets quite frustrating. I don't think he'll be captain next year, Zeeble. I think it's all, the transition's already happening. But it'll be interesting. Like, where do you think his best position is while we're talking about him? Do you think he's probably better suited in the back line, or, you know, because he has been playing forward pretty much the whole year after year in the back line last year?
I thought he was good when he got swung to the forward line. It's tricky though, because, I mean, if CCJ comes in and whatever, and we sort of start, you know, like playing him sort of forward, I don't know if there's really going to be room for Zeebs as such forward line. I'm not sure. But it's interesting, because there was sort of, who was, excuse me for forgetting, which is bad, but the ex-captain of Melbourne, you know, recently retired. Sorry. Please excuse that I'm having a brain fade. But he was talking about sort of how he was basically just...
Oh, Nathan Jones.
Yeah, that's him. He was getting swung around into all sorts of different roles, you know, plugging gaps at the sort of latter stages of his career, because it was kind of one of those things where, you know, like he was sort of on the way out. Does that make sense? You know, and so it was kind of like, you know, almost like if you won a game, like you're going to need to play here or play there, or, you know, and in a way that's sort of what's happening to Zeebs to a certain extent, isn't it?
I think a little bit, Look, he's been okay. Like, he obviously in the first game, as a forward, he kicked 5 goals, and but I thought, like the last couple of weeks, like before that, he's been struggling. Even David King sort of came out and said he wouldn't get a game with 17 other teams last week. What do you do? Look, I mean, if you put him in the back line, then you sort of... you're probably hindering a development of maybe a Kyron Hayden who needs an opportunity. So And true. If you get Callum Coleman-Jones in, then you've got those three tools again that we tried in round one, and yeah, then and which kind of hurt us. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he's season goes for the rest of the year, if they do put him back in the back line or if they just keep him forward and see how he goes from there.
What did you think of Jed Anderson's game?
Yeah, he was okay. I like him in the centre square against the big bodies because he can.
He's very good in that regard, I just worry a little bit about him. He butches the ball a bit.
I
think he's known for that. He kind of needs to – that's the thing. I think he needs to sort of work on that a bit harder too. Again, you know, he's an experienced player. We sort of can't afford to kind of just be, you know, like just hacking away at it, really.
I have 55% disposal efficiency, which was him and Larky were the two worst in the team for the weekend. Jai Simkin had 43% disposal efficiency.
I was a bit disappointed with Jai in that regard as well.
He was very fumbling.
That's like a lead by example sort of thing too, isn't it, really?
He's probably the next
trains really hard and everything, and just but yeah, that's very low, isn't it?
That was a bit surprising actually. He's usually quite a good user of the ball, but turned it over a bit on the weekend. It was a bit fumbly as well. You get games like that, I suppose, and I'm sure he'd bounce back this week against St Kilda. I was probably the only negative, other negative I could find was probably I felt like Melbourne were in second gear, pretty much just coasting throughout the game. And also the inside 50 account was 74 to 34, I think. We've got to try and get that inside 50 count a bit more. I mean, got to try and get that up this week.
We've got to get that, keep that sort of like, it's not breaking the chain, isn't it? That's where we're going wrong, is that we're, you know, it only takes one fumble or whatever and then that's,
one mistake. Yeah, a missed kick or something.
High risk. It can be high risk at times. As I say, I don't mind the idea of kind of running with that style, and it's like the players have to grow into it. if they can't, well.
It's going to be hard work. In saying that, is this the way, like as a supporter, you want us to play going forward, the chipping around, the uncontested sort of brand of football?
Not so much the chipping around, but that quick movement I like. And when it comes off, like it looks really good. But I'm not a fan of, like, you know, chipping sideways and all that sort of stuff too much. There's got to be a balance. You can't sort of go hell for leather every single time. But I don't think we did over the weekend anyway, did we? We sort of took a bit of a conservative approach and built it up a few times as well. But I think it's just like a sort of work in progress still. It's very clear that that's the case. I think Melbourne took us relatively seriously.
I'm not saying that. It just felt like they were cruising. They sort of woke up a little bit when they had to, halfway through the third quarter. Mm.
Understandable, like as far as...
we've been playing.
Because that's the thing, you could see that they could just, flick that switch and... they've just got so much experience and skill and... I just thought it was so great that we weren't absolutely blown off the park, because we weren't by any stretch of the imagination, which was really sort of heartening. So,
100%. That's a good thing about it. There was a lot of things against us over the weekend. We talked about umpire. I'm not going to go through that again. But, there was a lot of things that went against us. And, they're obviously thinking about bigger fish in the coming weeks. They're preparing themselves for that. But, at the end of the day, we gave them a little bit of scare halfway through the third quarter. It was 8-3 to 8-9 or something like that. So we're definitely in the contest, and they had to step up when they had to. So can't complain too much in that regard. So, Yeah, no, it's an interesting. It's interesting to see how we do play going forward. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you about the Goldstein Tristan Jerry's come back in. It seemed like Todd Goldstein was the number one ruckman again, and Tristan Sherry's playing a bit forward. Tristan Sherry only had two possessions for the game. I don't think he had many hit-outs. I felt like Todd Goldstein was in the centre square a lot more. I don't have the stats in front of me. Do you think that's the right way to go, to play a 34-year-old going forward and hinder a little bit of development of Tristan Sherry? Because he can't play forward, can he?
No, but I think again it might have been one of those situations where is it sort of fair to expose him to Max Gawn?
Yeah.
From the get-go? Would that be good for his development? I'm not sure. But having said that, there's an interesting sort of stat that one of my mates in a Twitter forum came up with, and apparently he's the one that palmed the first three of our goals from ruck. Interesting stat. And I thought that from what I could see, I could see that he was sort of, I thought, directing a bit better than I'd seen him previously. I think he has improved. And I think maybe it is a case of not just completely, I guess, sort of throwing him to the wolves in a game against the reigning premiers, isn't Gawn the best ruckman in the business? So perhaps to sort of ease him in a game like that. But that's the thing. It'll be interesting next week whether or not he gets more time. Maybe he will. Be interesting what Noble does with him. But what do you think of Sherry? I think he's definitely worth persevering with. So.
I've seen as the number one ruck next year with Callum Coleman-Jones as that forward, chasing the ruck to help him out. I don't think he can play as your forward. We've seen it last year. I mean, he kicked a goal on the weekend, but there's a handball from Greenwood, I think it was, and yes, that went over his head. So, yeah, I mean, this week, who we're going against, I think it might be, is Paddy Ryder. I haven't watched too much St Kilda this year, so I'll probably give Sherry first crack at it this week because I don't want to. I don't want him to lose confidence.
I agree. Yeah.
And if he plays another game like that, then he probably gets dropped for Callum Coleman-Jones. If you're going to play a forward, and then Callum Coleman-Jones is the one you want to develop as the forward that goes into the ruck rather than Tristan Sherry. So.
Yeah.
Tristan Sherry's got a contract year, so, and they didn't want to trade him last year, so yeah, they obviously see him as a piece of the future.
That he doesn't take prisoners either. I like that. That little bit of, you know, we've got sort of like some, you know, like nice players.
Definitely.
Do need some that have got a bit of mongrel in them, if I can use that word. I think he certainly fits the bill as far as that goes, and he looked a bit of a warrior at times with his, you know, his mouth bloodied up so I think I think he'll be good, and I agree about sort of, you know, like persisting with him, that's for sure. We'll see if it's, you know, it's like horses for courses. I wonder if that's not the case as to why he didn't start in the middle against Melbourne. So
yeah, I mean, he might not be 100% fit still. Like he's obviously come back from a foot injury, so maybe they're a bit worried about putting him in a ruck where he has to jump a lot more. I'm not too sure how that's going to go over the next few weeks. Goldstein was very good. I'm not going to. We can't say he's probably not the best ruckman at the club still, but . I mean, we've got to have one eye towards next year and years after when, you know, we're going to be a good team once again. So
I agree.
We'll see how we go with that. So we've done a review of that. We'll go to this week against St Kilda. Any possible team changes? You think any players are in a bit of trouble to keep their spot in the team? And when we've got Jaden Stevenson sitting in the wings there.
Good question. The problem was, is it VFL
reserves in a bye,
didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't play, yeah.
So we won't really know, you know, like we didn't get – there wasn't that opportunity for Stevenson to cool his heels really in the VFL. So I don't know how they're going to make an assessment as to whether he should come back.
yeah, that's right,
without
yeah.
Having done that. Yeah, I mean, who do you tip out, I guess?
Paul Curtis has been quiet the last couple of weeks. That'd probably be the logical replacement, half forward. But I like Paul Curtis and his defensive pressure. Mm. Stevenson won't give us that. And we don't have much else as far as defensive forwards that can run and chase. So different kind of player.
Yeah.
Curtis Taylor got injured. He got subbed out. True. So I don't know. I don't know how he's if he's going to be right this week.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it might be a case of, again, you know, just lack of sort of other options coming through, and Stevenson might be lucky and might actually, you know, just be straight back into the senior team. So without pulling his heels at all. So
yeah, we'll have you seen his year so far? He's been dropped twice now.
Yeah, disinterested.
It's
very frustrating because he's got so much talent and he's just not using it. He's just not making the most of it. And you know, I mean, I understand we haven't been playing very well, and I can imagine that would be pretty sort of disheartening. But you've got to hang in there. You know what I mean? Even if it means just going and, you know, like laying tackles all over the place or something like that.
Yeah.
But just contribute. You know. I think that's all people ask if you're not going through a great patch or whatever. But, you know, don't drop your head, I suppose. Yeah. It's easy to say, you know, when you're sitting there in your lounge chair and watching the
game. I agree. He tends to feel sorry for himself a little bit. You can sort of tell. He starts moping at teammates and loses interest too easily in games. So there's a maturity issue there.
Definitely.
You've got to stop using that as an excuse.
I agree. Yeah. He's the same age as LDU, isn't he?
He's 23, so he's not a kid. You know, like he's
an adult. A tiny bit older. So, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Be starting to kind of, you know, grow up a bit now, I think. And, you know, they get paid pretty well to move around.
So, yeah, well, 100%. What do you think his best position is at the moment? Because he's been probably used out of position a little bit, going in centre squares and all that. If he plays full forward, I don't know if that's the best position for him, like he did at Collingwood. What do you think it is? What do you think his best position is?
It's a good question. I think certainly sort of like a forward sort of option, like a small forward option, but maybe not all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Swing him in and out. What do you think in terms of, like, is he sort of more of a wingman than in the guts?
Yeah, I think he can play wing half forward. That sort of role. We're sort of missing the wingman.
Sort of what I kind of think. But maybe that's where his, you know, his spot would be.
Yeah, I don't like him.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not. He doesn't go in.
Nah. No. Not every player has to be like that either.
No,
like,
of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing. Sort of put them where they're, you know, better suited, I think.
Yeah, I don't like him in the centre square too much, only because of the small body. If he played against Melbourne last week, he would have been smashed by, like, Olivers and Petrarchas and all that.
Absolutely.
Even Luke Dunstan, who's got a big mature body, would have got into him a bit. So, I like him as a half-forward wing type that pushes up the ground because he's a good user of football. And
does have it.
And it can still be dangerous inside the 50 as well. But not that you've probably seen it this year, but he's certainly shown that he can be damaging as an inside 50 option. If he's got time and space, he can kick some good goals. So, it's up to him at the end of the day how he wants to go about it. And not just show glimpses of what he can do. He's just got to get that consistency week in, week out. You know, players aren't going to have their day every week, and sometimes, like you said, you just got to work that bit a little bit harder and do a tackle or defensive chase. So it's going to be interesting to see how his career goes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Anyways, Jane, did you want to add anything else?
Not really. I mean, do we know how far off Mackay is, or?
Initially, when they said he did it, they said 1 or 2 weeks. And last week, they said he's 2 or 3 weeks away. So it seems to get further and further away. So, yeah, I think probably after the bye, I'd have to think, which is round 14 or something like that, I'd have to think he's probably after that.
Well, that makes sense if he's still got, you know, sort of got issues sort of thing. It's, you know, it'd be good to for him to sort of, you know, to have the bye and then, sort of come back in and, go back to his usual spot of being sort of like the key defender. So, because it'd be great to have him back.
That's for sure. 100%.
But having said that, as you say, I think our defence actually, you know, went pretty well against Melbourne, so that was a massive test. So,
yeah,
and the ball was down there so much, and I think we did a really good job getting it out of there. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, we kept them to 8 marks inside 50 out of 74 attempts, which is a really good effort, and that's good pressure from the midfield up the ground. They forced a lot of long kicks, Aiden Corr and Josh Walker and even Corin Hayden, Lockie Young as well. They're very good in the air. To bring the ball to ground, which is fantastic. So, it's full credit to the defence. They work together. So, hopefully that continues for the weeks to come, because, like you said, we kind of do need Mackay back. He's a very important part. And, hopefully it's sooner rather than later. And, after the bye, hopefully we get a few players back and, we can sort of finish up the year pretty well. So, we'll see how we go. Well, anyway,
I think we're headed in the right direction. I think you know, I'm sort of quite optimistic, but it's another match, it's another week. We'll see what happens. We'll see what North puts out there on the park. And
well, that's it. Yeah, it's 1 week at a time, isn't it? Really? So.
It is. Yeah, but yeah. I think we've got the right coach at the moment. That's my opinion. So.
The players are backing him in. They kept talking about him. So Aiden Corr is very, talked highly of him. Nick Larkin did a couple of weeks ago. So they're obviously happy with him. I suppose we just want to see results at the end of the day. And, that would be ideal. And hopefully we can get, a few wins over the coming weeks. So, mainly in round 20 against Essendon, that'll be good. So.
That'd be terrific, wouldn't it?
100%. Just how it be, to be honest. So, we'll worry about that bridge when it comes. Exactly. Anyways, Jane, it's been a pleasure. Where can people find you on Twitter if they want to chat?
Well, I'm on Twitter, and I am. I can never remember my own sort of tag. It's at Jane Terrain 07, and terrain spelled TERRANE 07. So all sort of one word. So absolutely, certainly our North fans out there, more than welcome to check out some of my random tweets and whatnot. So I get a lot of support already, and I really appreciate it, because so many of us seem like minded and. All think along the same lines, and it's great. So it's a really good community on Twitter, I think, for North supporters. So,
It can't be sometimes. it can get quite negative and hostile sometimes. So,
that's true. But I still think it's better than Facebook in that regard. They're generally more sort of positive and, or at least more constructive. Sometimes Facebook, it's sort of people sort of lose their minds. So
it can happen. So definitely agree with that. Well, thanks very much, Jane. And I'm sure I'll chat to you soon.
Hope so. And thanks so much for having me once again.
No worries.
Appreciate Jane for coming to the show once again. So that's it for this episode. Just a review of her performance against Melbourne. I will be back later in the week. To do a preview of a game against who we got this week, St Kilda on Sunday. I'll probably do that Thursday night at this stage. I think I've got Troy Makepeace lined up for that interview, but that could change depending on circumstances. So, look out for that episode when it comes out. Probably might be late, really late Thursday night or Friday morning, whenever it comes into your feed. Appreciate all the likes, retweets, the comments that you guys are putting out for the show. You know, it definitely helps the show grow, and it's definitely going out to more people. Like I've stated before, I've really got to get off my ass and put it through more social media platforms like Instagram and so forth. So yeah, but thanks to all you guys for telling all your friends, and and also saying how good the show is. I'm always looking to grow it, so if there's I've certainly had some DMs come through that people's saying some really nice things about the show, which I really appreciate. So yeah, thanks to all you lovely listeners, and we're one big North family, so we're sticking together at the moment. You guys are still listening. The show's actually growing each week it comes through, so that's really fantastic. And we're a great club, so hopefully we can get some results for our reward for supporting them through the tough times. But stick through the tough times. You definitely have to go through the darkness, before you come to the light. So it will turn around. We probably don't see it now, but it will come. There was a step forward last weekend, so it will definitely turn around for us. Probably later this year, hopefully sooner rather than later, and then going forward in 2023, 2024, and so forth. So I still maintain 2024 will be the year that we'll be pushing for a top six berth by then. I could be wrong. I have been wrong before numerous times. But I still think, this list is building. And, we will get there. Just stick fat and have a bit of faith. Anyways, that's it for today's show. Like I said, I'll be back later in the week. And today I will leave a shout out to Aaron Fishy Mullet. Bye for now.